It's time to come together for Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches Holy Convocation 2018. Moving forward, Wednesday, August 15th through Saturday, August 18th. Our convocation speakers will be Pastor Delzora Terrell on Wednesday, Bishop John Edmondson on Thursday, and our very own Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. on Friday. Services begin at 7 p.m. nightly, preceded by prayer at 6 p.m. Workshops will be held Wednesday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. in the prayer chapel. Dinner will be served immediately after classes nightly. Registration is required for each workshop session. On Saturday, August 18th, there will be a special time for teens during the Teen Live Service, which will feature giveaways, gospel recording artist Jermaine Dolly, and a relevant word presented by Reverend Darren Harley of the Lighthouse of Deliverance Gospel Church. Dinner will be served after the Teen Live Service. Parents, encourage your teens to be here for this dynamic time of worship and fellowship. It's Holy Convocation 2018. Moving forward, August 15th through August 18th. Come and experience the power of God. We hope to see you there.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
If you go with me to Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now, he goes from talking about talebearers and talking about contentious words to saying that we use our lips. When he uses the phrase satisfy the belly, he's talking about the life. In other words, we can talk so much until we literally build up our lives from the words we speak. And we become satisfied with the stuff we're saying. Let's just be honest with each other. We lie to look proficient to people. We tell people things we can do when we can't do them, because to acknowledge that I'm not capable of doing a certain thing would be contrary to the image that I want you to have about me. And so he goes on now and he summarizes all of these things. It's interesting here. This is why I say it's not a theological book, because it jumps all over. There's no real exegesis and no context in many cases. He's talking about the tongue and the lips here. And he says in verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, the tongue, shall eat the fruit of it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it, the tongue, shall eat the fruit of it. Now watch what he does, and I'm just going to do this in parenthetical expression. You see the 21st verse? What's the 21st verse say? Read it. Okay, now the context, he's going through tongue mess, right? All right, we saw that, tongue stuff. Now, what's the next verse? Whoso findeth the wife, what does that have to do with tongue? I can't even speculate as to the validation of why that text, that verse was put after the other one. Not without being rocked. And I say that to emphasize the fact and the point that I made at the beginning. Proverbs is a great book for learning how to live your life, but if you're looking to study from a theological perspective, it's just not there. It's a man who's sitting around rambling about life and from his personal experiences. So he's saying, you better watch how you talk, because your words can have such power that they can enslave a person or set them free. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The King James writes it in this fashion, but in the Hebrew it comes out in this fashion. Whatever you speak out your mouth becomes a meal that you serve to others. And so when you speak, you literally deliver to that person death or life. When the person walks away from you, they feel motivated or destroyed. They feel invigorated or depressed. When they walk away from spending time in your conversation, either their faith is built or their unbelief is risen. From what? Words. Now, you and I are taught that actions are important.
And I guess I would have to give you that there is some truth to the philosophy that actions are important. But from a biblical perspective, actions are secondary to words. When you came to Christ, you were not, in most instances, you were not taught how to speak. The preachers of God would press Romans 10 and tell you faith comes by hearing and make you go through fantastic physical gestures in order to say, I have faith. You would lay hands on someone and go through a lot of emotions and pushing and frowning and, oh my God, because you thought that's what faith was. But why is it that you don't feel that way when you go to McDonald's and you walk in and you look at the menu and you say, I would like to have a fish sandwich, a small order of fries, and an unsweetened iced tea? You don't quicken. You don't break up your face. You don't become emotionally demonstrative. It's faith. Have you ever gone into McDonald's or any other store? Have you gone in and saw the picture of the Egg McMuffin and you've asked for it in faith and had them tell you it's after 11 o'clock? Then what do you do? Do you walk out? No, you shift. And you say, I'll take a hamburger then. Why didn't you walk out and say, well, I ain't coming back in here no more? Because you just understood that what you requested was out of time. Now, McDonald's has since changed and says you can have breakfast anytime. But there are still some places where you cannot get what you want when you want it. And one of them is the will of God. So you can quote your ministry, you can quote your stuff, you can quote your blessings and quote your job, you can quote your husband and quote your wife, but if it is not time, it ain't coming, no matter that it's on the menu. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. You're still looking. Keep on looking. You have not found her yet. He never says the woman finds a husband. So the implication is you shouldn't even be looking. So if you're looking for a husband, that's why you haven't found one, because you're not supposed to be looking. I had to meet with a businessman in Montgomery, Alabama. And when I got off the plane, he had called me before I reached Montgomery. He called me a day before, and he says, Pastor, where would you like to have lunch for our meeting? And I said, oh, no, you know, don't matter. You know the place better than I do. I've never been there. So I said, you know, wherever you want to go. He said, okay. And you know, he was a Japhethite, and he was like, okay, I know where to take you. Now, flying there, I started thinking about, the stuff that happened. My history classes start ringing in my mind, start getting pictures of hoses and dogs and hearing songs, we shall overcome. I was listening to all this on the plane. When the plane landed, he met me at the gate, and he says, well, Pastor, we're going to go. I said, no, let's eat in the airport. He said, "What? Well, I made a reservation. I can't cancel the reservation. We're going to eat in the airport." He said, well, are you going to stay over? No, I'm going home. I'm not leaving the airport. He said, well, why not? I'm not leaving the airport. Because in my mind, all I saw was what my ancestors went through. And I knew that was not probable, but it was possible. The point I make is that we form our world. And then there's something that makes our mental world real. It's not God, and it's not the devil. The reason why so many of us are living these substandard lives, it's not God, and it's not the devil. When we were young children, people taught us kindergarten, from what I heard, in those days was different than kindergarten now. Kindergarten now is fun. You know, you come in, you have fun. Back in the other times, kindergarten was really the stepping stone to education. I learned how to sew in my kindergarten class. She just sat there and said, this is how you do it. Bunch of five-year-olds just 27 years ago, just sitting there learning how to sew. You don't learn that now. When you became a Christian, you were taught to speak in tongues, to dance, to do spiritual things, but you weren't taught how to create your atmospheric conditions. God works in atmospheric conditions. In other words, he only shows up where he's expected. And what causes him to know he's expected? the words that come out your mouth. If the Bible, and the Bible says, Paul says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. He uses the word theos nuspis, God breathed. God breathed everything in this Bible. Even those things that are not according to his will was breathed by God so that you will know what happens when you go contrary to his will. Doesn't mean he validated the search for a king. It just means he wants you to know what happens when you try to get a king above him. And he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's good for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and even the formation of doctrine. But yet you and I were not taught how to speak kingdomese. Now, none of us were taught how to speak American. We don't speak English, we speak American. People from England speak English. Because some of our words don't even, for example, if I were to say to you, I'm going to run over there and I'm going to get some bangers. You look at me like, who, what? But that's English for sausage. We just say sausage. And we'd even pollute it by saying, I'm going to get some Jimmy Dean's. And we know we ain't getting Jimmy Dean's, but everybody knows what you mean when you say it. So we speak American. And what we learned, we picked up. That's why we cursed. Because we heard other people curse. We didn't know it was wrong. We just walk around the house, blank. Come over here, blank. What's your name, blank? Why you say that? That's what they call me. So get over here, blank. Get the blank over here, yeah, blank. Nobody taught you how to do that. You just heard it. And you just said it. Because the people that were in authority said it. So you thought, I'll say it. And you said it. You didn't learn how to structure your speech until school. That's when you learned verbs and nouns and adjectives and adverbs. You learned all those pronouns and prepositions and conjunctions and all that other stuff, contractions. And you learned all that in school. You didn't learn it at home. You just learned how to talk. But you didn't learn how to speak. Then you picked up street stuff. Two-thirds of you learned about sex from the street. Two-thirds of you. Your parents didn't sit you down and say, this is that, this is what this is for, this is what that is for, and this is not supposed to be used till you're married, and this is not supposed to be used at all. Nobody ever did that to you. You learned it from the street. You learned everything from the street. It was perverted. It was improper. It was satanically dark, but you mastered it. You grabbed hold of it, and you brought it into your adult life. When you became a Christian, you walked away from the altar a bit happy about the fact that you were no longer going to hell, but you did not know how to activate the power that was around you. You kept asking for healing when God was saying, the power for it is in you.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6318A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.